WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he has sent a letter to Iran's supreme leader, but Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has not confirmed that. Trump made the comments in an interview this morning on Fox, saying his letter read, "I hope you're going to negotiate, because if we have to go in militarily, it's going to be a terrible thing." U.S. employers adding 151,000 jobs to the economy last month. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
Big picture is, look, we have a solid jobs report. The unemployment rate at 4.1% is still near a half century low. So whatever shocks may be coming for the economy in the way of higher inflation because of the tariffs, at least we have a job market that's in pretty good shape heading into all of that.
Not included in this report, the recent Trump firings of thousands of federal workers. Newly released court documents revealing frantic text messages between surviving roommates on the night that four University of Idaho students were murdered. The text could be used at the trial of suspect Brian Koberger. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The largest reduction in federal jobs could happen in the next month. Here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
The Trump administration is planning on cutting tens of thousands of Veterans Administration jobs, according to multiple news reports. Currently, the VA employs about 470,000 people. The goal for the Trump administration is to get the VA back to pre-pandemic staffing of just under 400,000 workers, so about 70,000 employees would be let go. In addition, the Trump administration is planning to downsize the military's civilian workforce by about 5-8% of its nearly 950,000 employees.
According to federal data, there are about 11,000 federal VA workers in Wisconsin. The latest Marquette University Law School poll of Wisconsin voters finds several candidates for statewide office in the upcoming spring election are struggling with overall name recognition. The poll looked at the public opinion on the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court and state superintendent. The poll did not look at any head-to-head polling for either race. More than half of registered voters did not have an opinion on Susan Crawford, the liberal candidate for state Supreme Court, and close to two-thirds of voters don't have an opinion of Jill Underley, the state superintendent for the Department of Public Instruction. Among the right-leaning candidates, the poll found that more than 70% of voters don't have an opinion of Brittany Kinzer, the challenger in the state superintendent race. Brad Schimmel, the conservative candidate for the Supreme Court, has the highest name recognition of the four statewide candidates, but nearly 40% of voters said they didn't have an opinion of him either. The poll is among registered voters in Wisconsin and has a slight Republican lean in its sample. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW. News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
A busy weekend in college basketball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Big game tomorrow for Marquette. The Golden Eagles host number 6-ranked St. John's at Fiserv Forum. It's senior day for Marquette. Tip-off time at Fiserv Forum, 11 a.m. In Madison, the Badgers will host Penn State at noon tomorrow at the Kohl Center. The Milwaukee Panthers season came to an end last night at the Clatchy Center after losing to Oakland, 72-64. Milwaukee just 3-for-12 at the foul line. In women's hockey, the number one ranked Badgers women's team are in Minnesota today to take on the Bulldogs in Duluth. It's the first round of the WCHA Final Faceoff Tournament. NFL, Mason Crosby officially retiring today after 16 years as the team's kicker.
I was drafted by the Packers. I got to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay, in Titletown. Like, one of the coolest things that has ever happened in my life is to be able to wear that Super Bowl ring, and nobody can ever take that away from us.
That's the Packers' Mason Crosby with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, clear 18. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 40. By Sunday, sunshine 48. Monday will be sunny with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader. He's also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And it's a Bar Band Friday night, and that means our pal Terry Barr will be by with new music and fun conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday, and only Sandy Williams can go from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson. Sandy, the music.
It's a big bracket. And yeah, that's the Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson.
So did your AI send you to that?
Yeah. It turns out you can formulate music, and AI is pretty good at tying together some loose ends. Some of them are fairly disparate, like Michael Jackson, but I am amazed by AI. I've been using it an increasing amount, and the two amazing things about it: one, what it does, and two, how rapidly it does it. I mean, you know, it can do amazing things. It also uses an amazing amount of electricity, and it maybe replaces careful thought. So,
it certainly helps me when I'm writing a sentence to make sure that my grammar is right and that my verbiage is right, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's being increasingly used. I suspect that we'll all start to speak haltingly and maybe without articles or other nuances of grammar.
All right, let's go to the phone line, Sandy. We've got CJ. He's been waiting for a while. CJ, you say what?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. You know, as I listen to folks like you, you always say that, Earl. I like saying that. You know what he's doing? He's driving a lot of these issues to the Supreme Court to get judicial decisions, not social and political decisions. We saw it with the Biden administration with student loan forgiveness, went three times to the Supreme Court. And this is what he's going to do. We saw the governor of Maine dispute that they're going to follow the executive order about keeping women courts for women. We saw it with the fact that anti-Semitic schools, that universities with presidents that don't enforce those issues will be threatened to not get funding.
Okay, so CJ, before you go any further, let me say this. I don't think, Sandy, anybody should be celebrating the way Donald Trump and others are forcing universities to go after people for free speech.
I don't either, but I don't understand CJ's point. So, CJ, what you're saying that it's a good thing that the president is testing the constitutional powers of the presidency, and that what you're applauding is the notion that we will have the Supreme Court frequently determining what the range of power is. Is that your point?
No, I love the fact that the liberal progressive socialists threaten the fact that these things are happening. So he's going to drive and force these representatives to vote on issues like they did.
I don't understand, because you're talking around in a circle now, because the executive orders get tested in court. They don't get tested by Congress. I just don't understand, because I think what's happening is we have a president who's driving us in the direction with these frequent tests of the edge of the constitutional envelope to a constitutional crisis. And the president can issue executive orders, but whether those executive orders have the power of law is a matter of contest. You know, the some things the president does by executive order are clear cut and he's empowered to do so. Many of them might not be.
You know, Sandy, when you refer to people as liberal, social, these titles and these names, it reminds me of Archie Bunker and Pinko. So, you know, I mean, if people refer to people by who they are, not liberal, social, I mean, come on, man, what is that?
Well, I'm concerned. I had a telephone call last night with a bunch of my college roommates and asked the question, Do you think that this assault on the institutions like Harvard and the Ivy League, the Stanford, the major coastal intellectual centers, are those attacks because of what it is they're doing, or are they attacks on them because they represent bastions of liberal socialism, as CJ would call them? And so therefore the funding should be withdrawn because these people speak liberally, and that's an assault on freedom of thought,
yes,
freedom of expression, and there's no place for this in the United States. You know, we're starting to decide what kinds of thought processes, liberal or conservative, need to be talked about, considered in the context of universities and schools. Universities are supposed to be places of open discussion, open to talk about anything, and if anything, Harvard, you know, who's being accused of anti-Semitism, what they're guilty of is letting people talk freely on both sides of the political spectrum. And so, freedom of speech is a very vital freedom, and freedom of expression, and freedom to hold political viewpoints. And we should not have the tools of government deployed against us if we happen to disagree with the incumbent political ideology, whether we be liberals and there's a conservative in power, or CJ, day after tomorrow, when you're a conservative and there's a liberal in power.
Well, you know, Sandy, the pendulum, as you always say, swings both ways. CJ?
Well, the mere fact that you're okay with students that are foreign students that come over here and hold rallies.
They have a freedom to do that in America,
you're
CJ.
Okay with that?
Yes, they
Are
have
you
a
okay with that?
Yes, they have a freedom to do that in America. It's always been the case.
You know what? Take their funding away from the school. God bless Donald Trump for doing it, because that's not freedom of speech, Earl.
So what is it?
That's threatening people.
Who are they threatening?
Wait. Let's not conflate. If conduct constitutes assault, which constitutes physical threats, that isn't freedom of speech, and that's not permitted regardless. So, you know, I think what we should worry about is the question of whether free speech, not unlawful conduct, is being supported. And you know, free speech needs to be supported. Unlawful conduct, assault and what have you, isn't condoned by anyone.
You know, the only person, the president of the United States, Sandy, isn't the only person who has a right to free speech in our country. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah, and the point is that speech is free, and whether the speech is repugnant or not, because who's to judge what's repugnant? And you know, that's a very rapidly shifting sand that is dangerous to stand on. And so, you know, we need to have freedom of speech in every direction. And you know, the ACLU has supported the right of Nazis to march. So,
yes.
You know, I think that we need to be very protective of freedom of speech, and we should not be withdrawing funding or otherwise using the tools of government to try and regulate speech. And we need to allow foreigners in our country to exercise speech as well. We don't want to be traveling in London and be worried about what it is we say that we might be subject to arrest or deportation. You know, that's not the way we hope the world order works.
All right, Tom from L.A., you're up, Tom. You say what?
All right, I have some comments and a question. One, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. If Republicans are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it. We are headed towards the Trump session. Money in politics and lobbyists in politics have ruined our country. There was only one toe tapper in a bathroom, and that was a Republican. I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat. Now, for my question, when you listen to, I'll call it factual radio versus conservative radio, you know what you don't get on conservative radio? You don't get an apology if the host was wrong about something. You don't get a caller being called out. All they do is go lockstep with everyone. Anybody on civic media will call out Democrats as well as Republicans. Anybody on civic media will have an actual conversation that is longer than the different mottos that I said at the beginning of this call. But they say the same thing every single day. And that is the reason why I think they get some people that are in the middle to actually go along with Republicans, because Republican radio never, ever tells the truth about anything. All they do is a talking point, and then they get someone like a CJ to call up a factual radio station and give his talking point, and then it's all discombobulated from there. So I don't know what the answer is. I'd like to know, Sandy, from you, or even you, Earl, what is the answer to this? Because if their propaganda is never questioned, and I'm talking about at the time that it's said, what is it that we can do on the factual radio side that we can somehow, I don't know.
So Tom, let me first say, you said they're never questioned. I think that, you know, every time CJ and others on the other side of this say something that's not right, they are questioned. I don't know about anybody else, but they're questioned as CJ was today.
Well, I think, but I do think that what
you said, what
I'm talking about on conservative radio, they're never questioned.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I'll let you respond on the other side. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
We expect our judges to be fair, impartial, to keep us safe. But Brad Schimmel cut plea deals with child pornographers. He blamed underage victims of sexual assault for their bad judgment. And Schimmel joined extreme MAGA Republicans in trying to ban abortion statewide, even for victims of rape and incest. Now he wants us to put him on the Supreme Court, where he could strip away our rights and be a rubber stamp for Donald Trump and Elon Musk. Brad Schimmel, dangerous, extreme, and unfit for the Supreme Court. Judge Susan Crawford knows right from wrong and has spent her life keeping us safe. Crawford protected nursing home patients from identity theft and fought for the rights of workers across Wisconsin. Crawford will always protect our right to choose and is the check and balance we need against Donald Trump and Elon Musk. On April 1st, Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Power to the Polls Action Fund, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music has been what the style of government of Don Corleone. And what does the Don demand but respect, right? I mean, Zelensky didn't give enough respect in that room, and so he got called on the carpet. You know, this is all part of the process. To demand overt actions of respect, to avoid any sort of criticism, and to use the tools of government against anyone who has the temerity to stand up. That's what we're watching, and that's a very dangerous prospect.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Special topic, because I know that's one of your pet peeves, stay on topic. And I want to stay in good standing with you.
No, man, go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
I have a little question here. Why is it that ABC, NBC, CBS doesn't report a lot of the news that PBS reports? I heard something very discouraging last night on PBS. Now, you've often heard Trump say, we're not going to touch Social Security. Well, there was an interview. I don't know if you're familiar with a fellow named Martin O'Malley. I don't know if you know him or not.
No, but go ahead.
Is that okay? He was interviewed. As we speak, Trump's sugar daddy, Elon Musk, is busy at work. Social Security is going to cut 12% of their workforce. So that's going to equal about 7,000 people. Now, that's going to cause longer waits on the telephone, longer waits if you go to their office. In other words, he's touching it. And no matter what he says, he's lying to you, because the work is being done right now, and it's only reported on PBS. None of the other stations report this. He said right out, Martin O'Malley, whoever he is, I never heard of him. Social Security has never missed a payment in 80 years. When you cut the workforce 12%, this will be in jeopardy.
Okay, okay, Don, we
so
got
anyhow,
you.
Anyhow, I just wanted to kind of fill you in on that. Trump is lying to you again.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much for the call, Don. Appreciate it. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what?
Good morning, guys. my question is, has there been any reporting in terms of how much Bitcoin, you know, Trump, Musk, the people in the cabinet hold? I see Bitcoin as a Ponzi scheme. You know, it's a way for rich people to avoid taxes. It's used for countries like Russia, Iran, North Korea to avoid, you know, sanctions for their terrible actions. It's used for to put hits out on people, for gun running, for human trafficking, for drug dealing. And I think a lot of the chaos they're creating, because when I went to school, you learned that markets like consistency and stability. I think a lot of the chaos that they're creating is to move us away from the dollar over to one of these other currencies.
Well, I think you brought up a very good point. And there have been a number of articles in a number of the financial press recently about the cryptocurrency policies of this administration. In particular, one of the member of the administration who was a the CEO of Cantor and Fitzgerald. Cantor and Fitzgerald actually holds and owns a very big operation totally dependent on cryptocurrencies. And the notion that they're going to set up a cryptocurrency reserve in the United States is designed to create a great deal of increased value for cryptocurrencies. Both Elon Musk and the Trump family are heavily invested in cryptocurrencies. Elon Musk in a currency called Doge, and the Trump family, several months before this inauguration, started a family cryptocurrency-based holding company. And cryptocurrency has a place, okay? And it could well be that at some point the dollar will become a form of cryptocurrency that allows electronic exchanges of dollars. But the cryptocurrencies like Bitcoins and the Strump coin and these others are Ponzi schemes. They're things that don't have any value other than if somebody wants to buy them. And Bitcoin in particular has value only for one reason, and that is that it permits totally secret movements of money. And so the to the extent that Bitcoin has been used as a currency, it's been used as a currency in the market of in the criminal market, the underworld essentially. And cryptocurrency is something which is far more complicated than people give it credit for being, and is basically a Ponzi that is being perpetrated, I think, with respect to national policy, so that there are people who will get a great deal of wealth. And one of those people is Donald Trump.
Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Hang on, we'll come right to you. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. New Republican-authored legislation is aiming to reform pharmacy benefit managers. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has that story.
Dodgeville Representative Todd Novak authored the Cole Act alongside Senate President Mary Felskowski.
I have a rural district. Most of my pharmacies are independently owned. It's a huge issue with them. I've been affected by this personally. I recently, 6 months ago, was told I needed to go elsewhere to get a drug that I take because the pharmacy was losing so much money on it.
Larry Crowley is a pharmacist in South Central Wisconsin.
I witness patients facing exorbitant copays for medications they cannot afford, and they're forced into impossible decisions about their health. At the same time, independent community pharmacies are being reimbursed at unsustainable rates, far below the PBM-owned pharmacies that dominate the market.
The Cole Act is named after Cole Schmitnick, who died from an asthma attack in January 2024 after he couldn't afford his inhaler when the out-of-pocket price increased suddenly. Bill Schmitnick is Cole's father.
In Cole's case, those barriers became fatal when his daily asthma steroid medication was removed from his drug formulary without notice or medical necessity. His Advair went from $66 to $540. He was forced to choose between buying his needed medicine, paying his rent. Wisconsin has the power to take the stand against the PBM abuses.
Representative Todd Novak and Senate President Mary Felskowski say the legislation will lower drug costs, increase transparency, and increase pharmacy access and safety.
From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Keanu Reeves says John Wick 5 might not happen. The actor spoke to Extra and said that John Wick 4 didn't leave much room for a John Wick 5, which is an understatement because John Wick died in Chapter 4. Reeves said the role is very physically and mentally demanding, but also said, never say never. Translation, I want a lot of money to do John Wick 5. Ione Sky, who starred opposite John Cusack in 1989's Say Anything, has a new memoir out called Say Everything. In the book, Sky says she and Cusack had sex, but not while filming the movie. Sky says it was years later that they reconnected and wanted to see if on-screen chemistry could be found off-screen, adding it was something she needed to get out of her system. Sky wanted to clarify that the hookup with Cusack happened after she divorced Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz. Sky also said in the book that it was when she was married to Horowitz that she discovered she likes women. That'll pump a guy full of confidence. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to the upper 30s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, clear 18. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 40. By Sunday, sunshine 48. Monday will be sunny with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Brady Ewing will be here, former fullback for Wisconsin football, to talk mental health and athletes and also the relationship with on-air announcers like Bill Rafferty of CBS. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth. And it shows them pearly white.
Just a jack.
Mac the knife.
Has old Maggie Heap, babe. And it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe. Scarlet billows start to spread.
Well, I guess I'll go home and watch film noir. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join me. I'm always watching film noir anyway. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Sandy, your music selection.
Yeah, this is all about mob music. This sort of the configuration of our government right now is taking shape, much like as if Don Corleone is in charge. Sort of public whack-a-mole to keep us all in keep us all in place, kissing the ring. You know, Robert from West Dallas had an interesting point about Bitcoin and about cryptocurrency. Howard Lutnick, who is the Secretary of Commerce, came from Cantor and Fitzgerald, a very large financial institution in New York. He's an old friend of Donald Trump's, but he's been heavily involved with the cryptocurrency called Tether, to the point where it's made him a wealthy man. It's made Cantor and Fitzgerald a very profitable financial organization. And it's suggested that today there's a Bitcoin conference or a cryptocurrency conference ongoing, and that President Trump is going to announce a U.S. Cryptocurrency reserve, which will have the effect of substantially, put at least in the near term, increasing the value of all cryptocurrencies. And people who are invested in cryptocurrencies, like Howard Lutnick, like Donald Trump, like a fair number of people, not Tom, Dick, and Mary. And we should understand that currently, cryptocurrency's primary use is in criminal activities, like the fentanyl trade that Donald Trump is so wired up about. So much the way the gun manufacturers have been accused of providing weapons to the criminal drug cartels, cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin, are the financial tool being used by these very same criminals. And, you know, we should watch and be concerned about public policies that are being adopted in a manner which may create immediate, immense wealth for people in government.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to make 3 points real quick. I had said a while ago that the ability to see inside the MAGA mind or understand it is a tough thing to do. But I think the simplest part we need to understand is the call just from CJ now, again, which was actually one of his first decent calls. But it's the bigotry. It's the hatred. Because he doesn't have a problem with Trump selling $5 million citizenships to brown people that will come in from other countries because they have $5 million to shove in his pocket. But he has a problem with college students who bring revenue and money to our college institutions who may not be happy with the fact that they see memes of Palestine becoming a hotel beach resort. My other point is I challenge any mega caller to explain why Doge, who's going to save us all a ton of money and everybody thinks it's going to funnel down to us somehow, which is just a pipe dream, hasn't gone after the biggest department, which is the biggest wasteful department, and that's our military expenditure. He is staying so far away from that. I wonder why. Maybe because they pay him billions of dollars so that he can send rockets up, leave people in Fort Lauderdale and Miami International last night stranded as his second rocket in a row comes down in pieces over the ocean. How soon till one lands over a landmass? And I just hope there were no fishermen, commercial fishermen out there that suffered any harm from that. But, you know, I'll just stick with those two for now. So all of the folks that are on the conservative side, please explain to me why he's not going after the one department that hasn't passed an audit in years and has more wasteful spending than anything. It's so obviously, and the hypocrisy is just amazing.
Hey,
have
Brendan,
a great weekend, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I have my usual long tirade this morning. So I think that the one major problem that's allowed the MAGAs to basically take over our government has been the media. And I don't just mean Fox News, but the legitimate media. They've allowed the constant repetition of lies, and not just by Trump, but by virtually every so-called Republican. And they have been doing little real-time fact-checking. This one thing that should have been done during his speech, and it wasn't done. This lying started in the 2015 campaign. It's continued for over a decade now. It's been flooding the media with statement after statement, misleading, misdirecting. It's used every other method they can possibly use to keep the independent voter from understanding the real issues. And the real issues, one of them at least, is, I would argue, the manipulation of the economy by the rich and huge corporations. That's the thing that's kept people, that people say, yeah, it's the economy, stupid. Of course it's the economy, but it's kept people off balance. It's lying. You remember the alternative fact statement? And some people think this is a real.
I don't know. We lost you, Jack, so call back. Sandy, I don't know if you got much of what he was talking about, but okay, we got a problem with the phones. Let me go here, Sandy. One of the things that I really kind of wanted to touch on, and that's this. War heroes and military first are among 26,000 images flagged for removal in Pentagon's DEI. And this is in today's Associated Press. References to World War II Medal of Honor recipients, the NOLA Gray aircraft that dropped an atomic bomb on Japan, and the first women to pass Marine infantry training. What did they do, Sandy, that they have to be erased from history?
Well, that's this kind of revisionist notion that we need to have the American dream reinstated. And one of the ways we do that is to erase everything that is inconsistent with the ideology associated with the dream that's being painted. And, you know, apparently now DEI, which means different things to different people, but apparently to Peter Hegseth and to the new regime at the Pentagon, it means, I guess, anything associated with people that are either brown or black or
women
or,
yes.
Or are in any fashion out of line with what they want to paint as the Aryan hero of the American Army. And it's very troublesome. I think that this unwillingness to embrace reality and to create and paint a reality which is different than the truth, but one which is consistent with an ideology is fascism. That is exactly what the definition would be.
So they're doing away with tens of thousands of photos and online posts marked for deletion as the Defense Department works to purge diversity, equity, and inclusion content, according to database obtained by the Associated Press. The database, which was confirmed by U.S. officials and published by AP, includes more than 26,000 images that have been flagged for removal across every military branch, but the eventual total could be in the hundreds of thousands. One official who spoke on condition of anonymity to provide details that have not been made public, said the purge could delete over 100,000 images or posts in total when considering social media pages and other websites that are also being called for DEI content. So anything with photos of blacks and women, Pete Hegseth is this is Donald Trump's executive order to wipe that out of the military history. Sandy, as a person of color, and knowing a little bit, you know, the Enola Gray was certainly named after a black woman. And the fact of the matter that it dropped this bomb on Hiroshima, and somehow, who does that hurt? Why do they have to wipe that out, Sandy? Why would the president of the United States make that such an issue that that's got to be wiped out? He can't find anything more important? Or is it because he's a racist?
Well, I think that this is the baby, the bathwater. You know, these directives go out. They're not preconceived. They're ill-conceived. They're reflective of a viewpoint that is very narrow. This notion of trying to repaint the history of the United States to make it what people want it to be rather than what it was is very troublesome, and it's going to get us to a very bad place, and it's going to try and create a false reality. Right now we have the false reality that's being created, which is that America is in an emergency. We have a catastrophe on our hands, and we need to take strong action to avert disaster when this catastrophe is totally bogus. You know, it's been artificially painted, artificially created for the very purpose of now justifying these kinds of broad actions. And it's what we talked about early on the show. You know, the fact is that, as this Wall Street Journal mentioned, I think the president needs to be reined in by the courts with respect to this capacity to define disaster and to decide to define emergencies where they don't exist in order to justify conduct.
Several photos of an Army Corps of Engineers dredging a project in California were marked for deletion because they're all black guys doing it, apparently because a local engineer in the photo had the last name Gay. And a photo of Army Corps biologists was on the list, seemingly because it mentioned they were recording data about fish, including their weight, size, hatchery, and gender. In addition, some photos of the Tuskegee Airmen, the nation's first black military pilots who served in a segregated World War II unit, were listed to be removed from the database. Sandy, you know, it is more than frustrating that they can't, that they're focusing on things like this. Sandy, the economy and what's happening there and all the other things that should be where they're focusing on this nonsense.
Well, in the military, they ought to be focusing on waste and expenditures and the huge budget. And this is all deflection. This is the way we have had our attention deflected from real and important things. And they're spending time and energy and in the military doing things which are a total waste of time.
Yeah, and not to mention just unacceptable to wipe out the history of black and Hispanic people who fought, bled, and died in this nation alongside other military people. And to just wipe that out is more than insulting. 855-752-4842. Jack, we'll come to you right away. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams.
After drawing out all his hard-earned cash, and now Maggie spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash?
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Donald Trump is out of control. stopping payments for healthcare and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Jack, welcome back, sir. You say what?
Thanks for picking me up again.
Yes.
Yeah,
go
I just want to finish up with some quotes from Hannah Arendt, who is a German-American historian who studied the Nazis extensively. And you probably know the name. And here are the quotes. This constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore. A people who can no longer distinguish between truth and lies cannot distinguish between right and wrong. And such a people, derived of the power to think and judge, is without knowing and willing it completely subjected to the rule of the lies. With such a people, you can do whatever you want. And here's the key phrase. This, the ideal subject of totalitarian rules, not the convinced Nazi or dedicated communist, and I would add, or dedicated MAGA, but people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. And of course, if you can't tell truth from fiction, how can you tell whom to vote for? So you vote for the loudest, most recent voice, and that's what we got in the White House today.
You know, Jack, thank you very much for that. You are absolutely 100% correct, and that's where people are who still support Trump and those things. Let's go to Kathleen. Good morning to you, Kathleen. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi. Yes, I am just appalled by what you said the AP is reporting now about all the black and brown people and probably the American Indians and
yes.
the women.
Everybody who fought.
I send an email to the White House every day about my dissatisfaction. I am just, I am outraged. Every single day, but just like the other caller said, it's a diversion and, and hopefully it's not deleted forever. It's just maybe for the 4 years, and then whoever gets in next will bring it all back.
Well, I hope you're right, Kathleen, but thank you very much for the outrage. Let's go to John quickly. John, you say what? John? Okay. So, Sandy, you know, we've had, you know, a conversation about where we are with these things. They're not going away, are they?
Well, my fear is that when you change the architecture of power in the government, whoever succeeds President Trump, whether it be a Republican or a Democrat, will be urged by their party to use all of the tools at hand. And so what Donald Trump is busily doing, and what project the people behind him, Russell Vought, the authors of Project 2025, are doing, are changing the architecture of the U.S. government, trying to shift power dramatically in the direction of giving more power to the president. Once you do that, then the people who inhabit that office are urged by all of those who back them to use all of the tools at hand. And so when a liberal president gets elected to succeed a conservative president, all of the tools will be utilized by the liberal president in maybe the same manner that, well, that the conservative president used it to get their way. And this is how you swing from democracy to autocracy. You swing from the exercise of power in an orderly fashion, in an orderly process, to the exercise of power by individuals when they get elected. And this is what we've watched in South America. We've called them banana republics for a long time, swinging from very conservative governments to very liberal governments, swinging from fascism to communism. I mean, this is instability, and this is a revision to our government that is contrary to what the founders had in mind, because the founders were far smarter than the architects of 2025.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the way it was in South America, and look at, they're still destabilized.
Yeah.
And it, through those swings that you're talking about, you're saying that could happen to us.
Absolutely. I mean, what's happening in Argentina, what happens in Venezuela, what happens in Brazil with these swings from one side to the other are the result of governments which are not structured to enhance stability over the long term. And, you know, this thing that was called the deep state that is under assault and under the leadership of conservative thought people like Neil Gorsuch, destroying the deep state, destroying the methods in which our government implements its laws through regulatory agencies is going to destroy long-term stability. That has been the flywheel of the stability that allows business people to understand what it is that they might be experiencing in the economy 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's what's allowed everybody to plan for a future that might look something like the present. And what we have right now is a future that we don't know what it's going to look like. And the stock market is going to penalize those who hold stock as the result of this instability. And business leaders are not going to be making investments while they sit on their hands and try and figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and so, Sandy, in all of those things, three things you just mentioned in the last 30 seconds, all have profound impact on the average everyday citizen.
Absolutely. The traction is local. The traction is on Tom, Dick, and Mary. When we have pain, the people who experience it are Tom, Dick, and Mary. It's not Elon Musk. It's not Howard Lutnick. It's not the people who are calling the shots. It's the people who will feel the pain.
You know, Sandy, the last thing I'd say is, you know, it's not a harbinger of a good thought for generations that are on the horizon and children. It's a sad commentary for them.
Yeah, in particular, this short string on the pendulum is the most dangerous prospect, and it's what turns us from a stable government into the banana republic.
All right, Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinier, Greg Bach Matinier on that. Guys, enjoy a great weekend. See you on Monday.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New job numbers could be what drives your markets today. The Labor Department says healthcare companies were hiring in February, as were banks. 151,000 jobs created in all. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
We saw some strength in financial services, also in transportation and warehousing. We did lose 10,000 federal workers last month. But, you know, this report doesn't give us a full picture of the unemployment report. The data is collected mid-February.
And that's too early for the job cut announcements to really make a difference. Two Army soldiers and a veteran are in custody, accused in an espionage and bribery scandal. They're believed to have been trying to sell military secrets to China. Travel disruptions continuing in Paris after an unexploded bomb from World War II was found beneath the train tracks leading to France's busiest train station. We expect to get an update today on the deaths of Gene Hackman and his wife, whose bodies were found in their Santa Fe, New Mexico home last week. This is ABC News.
I'm